Welcome to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. We are currently going through the book of Matthew with Pastor Dave. In today's study, Pastor Dave will be taking us through Matthew chapter 9, verse 35, ending in chapter 10, verse 4, where we see that when we are recipients of grace, we are also to give grace to others. When we understand grace, we can be world changers, religion changers, and we can also give people the same freedom that we have received for their soul. More on that now. Let's pick up with Pastor Dave in Matthew chapter 9, verse 35.
Because some pastors, they get up here, they're so fake, I can't do it. And some parishioners are so fake. It's praise the Lord. God bless you. And it's like, God bless me? Really? You know, I mean, there's times where it's just like, this is not real. Real is I want to call down thunder on you right now. You know, I mean, there is that. Listen, Jesus takes these guys and he makes John into an apostle of love. James is going to die early. He's going to get killed by Herod in Acts chapter 12 by a sword. There's got to be a reason that Herod was after him. John is the only of the 12 who won't die the death of martyrdom. His death is a martyrdom of long life, in fact. He'll be sought after to be killed, to be put in boiling water. That doesn't work. So he'll be shipped off to an island of Patmos where we get the letter of Revelation from. But these guys are going to suffer greatly for Jesus, and their hearts and their hot-headedness is going to turn into passion and love for a world around us. You're a hothead today. You've got a temper. Jesus can change you. I mean, he's picking these guys. No seminary, no Bible college. You know, I mean, they're not churched, really. I mean, all of them are Galileans but one. If you don't get what I'm saying, they're all a bunch of hicks. Galilee was despised. Remember when Peter speaks at the fire, they go, he's a Galilean. We could tell by his speech. In other words, he speaks slang. His grammar's terrible. Judea, down south, Jerusalem, the only one that was from there, like the prestigious elite sniffy scene, is Judas Iscariot. All the other are up from north, fishermen, just blue collar, hardworking individuals. That's who Jesus calls. I think it's fascinating. I'm so jazzed about who Jesus calls because I so am grateful that he allows people still like that today to serve him. It's amazing to me. Philip and Bartholomew, moving through this list here a little quicker now. These guys are interesting. By the way, Bartholomew is also known as Nathaniel, as you go through the other Gospels. What I like about these guys, I want to pull application from each of them in a way that's not redundant for you, so that there's something fresh as we move through each one as best as I can. What I love about Philip and Nathaniel is that they're buddies before Jesus calls them. I think that's neat because as I look into the crowd again, just like first service, there are some of you that I see that you came here with your buddy, or you girls, you came here with your girlfriend. And then you guys get saved, you get on fire for Jesus together. Now you're buddies in Christ. Now you're sisters in Christ. I think that's pretty awesome. Me and my wife, I was backslidden. I led her to Christ. I don't recommend this. Flirt to convert. It's dangerous. Don't do it. I was backslidden. I wasn't walking with Jesus. She got interested. She's like, your dad's a pastor? I was like, why? And she's like, well, I just want to go to his church if he is. I want to check it out. I'm like, really? Are you sure about that? I mean, like, what are we going to do this for, you know? And I brought her. And after the first time I brought her, she's like, I want to go every single week. And then she started asking me questions. I was so convicted about the question she asked. I'd call my sister a Bible cousin. You got to talk to her. And eventually I led her to Jesus Christ. We never looked back. That's amazing. I don't recommend it. That's amazing. You guys that you have buddies that you get saved with, you get to serve Jesus with now. It's the most incredible opportunity. Same with you girls. I think this is amazing about Philip and Nathaniel. They were buddies before Jesus called them. And now they're buddies after Jesus calls them, serving Jesus faithfully. Philip is a calculator for a brain. He's like Andrew in that story there in John 6, where there's five loaves, two fishes of Two fishes of bread? No, but five loaves of bread and two fishes. And he's the calculator. Jesus is like, how are we going to do this here? You know, what do we want to do? Andrew's saying what he's going to say. And then there's Philip over in the corner. He's a calculator for a mind. He's slow. He's like, well, if 8 months of our salary, 8 months of your salary, you've got people hungering now. Like 8 months of your salary, we can't wait for that to be able to feed this many people. That's him, though. He's the spreadsheet guy. Some of you guys get excited over spreadsheets. You like Microsoft Excel. You like that stuff. You're an organizer. You're a planner. You're detailed. Listen, Jesus wants to use you. So he takes impetuous Peters, who are just like, let's get out of the boat and walk on the water. Let's just do this now. And then he takes Phillips, who are calculating. If the church was made up of all Phillips and Andrews, the church would never do anything. If the church was just filled with Peters and Johns, everyone would be dead, and there'd be a lot of things happening that nothing was thought out. You take all of these guys and you collaborate them. You take a bunch of ordinary people and you do an extraordinary mix. That's when things get done. You take Peter's who say, let's do this right now in Jesus' name. And then you take Phillips who say, okay, let's do this, but let's think through what we're going to do here. That's some powerful stuff right there. I look at our leadership team. I mean, it could be summed up like this. Ready? Larry and Lou. Larry and Lou. Couldn't get more different. Best of friends couldn't get more different. Everybody's a little Larry and everybody's a little Lou. Some are more Lou's, some are more Larry's, but together we're Larry and Lou. We're Larry Lou. That's who we are. We're lovey-dovey, we're sweet, we're kind, we're mean, we're stern, we're strict, we're organized. You figure out who's who. Who kisses you when you come to church? Who gives you a skull when you come to church? Both of them are the best. You have all Larry's, all we're going to do is be kissing and hugging the whole service. You have all Lou's, we're going to be staring you down the whole service. You bring them together and you got something wonderful. One of the ministry overseers came to me after first service. I'm in my office. He says, having problems with my ministry. I said, so am I. What's the problem? He says, no, seriously, I'm having a problem with my ministry. I feel like I have to cut the fat on some of the meat here that we got going on. And I don't know, I'm like, I'm the wrong guy to talk to. I don't ever cut fat. I'm not good at it. Daniel's good at that. You want to learn how to cut fat? Go see Daniel, great swordsman. He'll cut the fat for you. Don't see me. I don't know how to do it. I'm a pushover. I'm soft. I'm not good. Go see him. You got to have both. Listen to me. Jesus wants all. He wants all the Andrews here today. He wants all the Phillips here today. He wants all the Peters here today. He wants all the Andrews. He wants all the James. He wants all the Johns. He wants everybody collaboratively to come together as diverse as we are under the umbrella of the unity of his spirit and go get some stuff done in our village, in our city. Bartholomew, I don't want you guys to get lost here. Bartholomew, he was never mentioned without an and after his name, which means that he works well with anybody. Listen, if your name's always mentioned in isolation, that means nobody likes you. They can't get along with you very well. Every time you come to the job, it has to be your idea. It has to be your way. If not, then you're not doing it. But Bartholomew's, they don't have to be the head honcho. They don't have to be the alpha. They just come smiling and they're just ready to work. They just come and they'll do what you need them to do. Those are wonderful. Maybe that's you here today. You're like, I'm not really one who gets up and speaks. I'm not really one who wants to do worship. I don't even really want to stand at the door and open them for people because I'm just not that way. I'd rather be behind the scenes. Perfect. Go to the sound booth. Perfect. Go to intercessory prayer. You can just be a smiling, encouraging arm lifter elsewhere. You don't always have to be somebody who's boisterous and loud. Bartholomew. I love Bartholomews. If I believed in coming back as a different person in this life, I'd want to be a Bartholomew. I would love to be just a behind the scenes person that's just behind the scenes a known person. Some of you want me to say, I don't have anything more. That's all I have for you. So that's just what I would love to do. He's amazing. He translates the Gospel of Matthew, which you have on your lap this morning, in the language of those in India at his time. Just a behind the scenes guy. He would be crucified. By the way, most of these will be crucified. Or killed with a spear or sword or some device similar to that. Thomas. John 20, we read about Thomas. Thomas is known as, if you've been to church, you know it, Doubting Thomas. He ain't going to believe it unless he sees it. Everyone's in the upper room. They're all gathered together. We just saw the resurrected Lord. We just saw him. Nope. No, he didn't. Yeah, we did. No, he didn't. I won't believe it till I see it. I want to touch his holes in his hands. I want to put my arm through his side. I won't believe it till I see it. Some of you are that way. I'm telling you about heaven. I'm telling you about grace. You're like, that's too good to be true. I'm dismissing it. I won't believe it. And a lot of times people feel like, man, I shouldn't be doubting so much. But doubters could be good if they become explorers, if they become investigators, if they become Bereans and search things out to see for themselves. That's some of you. You're thinkers. You don't believe things right off the bat. Like everyone else is like, yeah, amen, grace, Jesus. And then you're like, I don't believe it. And then you go study the book of Romans and you learn about grace unlike any other book that will teach you about grace. And you think, now I do. You understand? Now I do. And guess what? Thomas would come to that place too where eventually he does. He'll be killed by a spear for his cause, for his belief in his Savior, Thomas. Fascinating. Jesus uses doubters. He takes haters, scoffers, scorners that think, oh, you drink the Kool-Aid. You go to that born-again church. They're crazy over there. He takes those people and they come because they have to or they come out of curiosity. And then he saves them. And they become some of the greatest influencers to the secular world in our culture. You know that? That's what he does. He takes atheists and he makes them creationists. They're apologetists. They go out there and they argue for the faith. They contend for the faith. People who are haters because they're the best. They're like, no, this is true. This is right. I've experienced all the counterfeits. This is it. And then they got a passion and you better get out of their way. So if you're a doubter, no doubt Jesus can use you if you'll investigate him and explore him. Matthew, moving through this here. Matthew, listen, please. There's some amazing things attached to each of these guys as we close. Matthew, only on Matthew's list of the apostles is Matthew ascribed. He's given here his occupation before Jesus calls him. He calls himself Matthew the publican. Nobody else does that to Matthew. Matthew writes this obviously after he's saved. What he's doing then is this. He's saying, I'm still in awe of the grace of God. That he would call me a publican. Remember, I told you when we started studying him, he's part-time terrorist and he works for the IRS. He's a traitor to his nation. He's hated by his people. He took advantage of people for a living. That's what he did and he made himself rich off of it. He capitalized on that. Jesus saved him. He's known to be an outward sinner. And he can't forget who he was. That's something that we all should purpose in our hearts. Don't forget who you were. Not to the point of condemnation, but to the point of exaltation to Jesus. He took me a publican and he made me an apostle. In awe of the grace of God. Some of you here today, you are a terrorist to this community. Maybe some of you here, because listen, we've got a serious diversity here. Maybe you were running the streets in a way that you would want nobody to know about. Maybe your track record, your resume is filled with filth and shame. But see, here's what's happened this morning. Jesus took Matthew and he hung him in your face and he said, if I can do it with Matthew, I can and I will do it with you. That's the power of the gospel. That's the power of the love of Jesus Christ. That it can take somebody and transform them and change them into an ambassador for his cause. You're never too far gone. I'm speaking to somebody right now. You're never too far broken and entrenched in sin where Jesus can't save you. Listen to me, please. This might be the most powerful portion of my study. You are not a mystery to Jesus Christ. There are no mysteries for Jesus Christ. He sees you, he can save you, he can redeem you, he can restore you, and he can set you up in such a way that you can't even fathom if he were to tell you right now and use you for his cause. Grace changes everything. So amazing. He takes Simon the Canaanite. The other gospels don't call him that. They call him Simon the Zealot, which was one of four major political religious parties of the day. There was the Essenes, the Sadducees, the Pharisees, the Zealots. He was a patriot. He was one who they were known as dagger men in this day, where they would take a dagger, they'd go into the crowds of the Roman soldiers who were oppressing the Jews in those times, and they would sneak up and they would stab a Roman soldier in their kidney region. They would kill them, and then they would disappear off the scene for the sake of the country. Like, we're going to liberate ourselves against these oppressors. That's who he was. So you take Simon the Zealot and Matthew the tax collector, who worked for the Roman government, and you put them in the same room before Jesus steps on the scene in their lives, and you're going to have a brawl. Jesus takes those two guys and say, you two are on the same team now. Tax collector, dagger men, and he puts them together. A zealous zealot, that's who he was. Now, here's what I don't want to lose you. We're down to Judas Iscariot. Watch this. I told you, there's three groups of four with these 12, always. Simon Peter's always the leader. Judas is always at the bottom because of what he did. With Judas in his group is Simon the Zealot. I think that's amazing because it's almost to me, knowing Jesus, it seems like this. Jesus said, I'm going to put together Judas Iscariot, the one who's going to betray me for 30 pieces of silver. It's going to lead to my crucifixion. I'm going to take that son of perdition, the one who's going to sell his soul to the devil, and I'm going to pair him up with the most zealous guy in the group, seeking to woo him onto myself until his very act of shame. Did you catch that? Because I know it's late and the mind can only take in what the bum can endure, and I get that. I have 3 minutes to be closed. Don't lose this. He knows that Judas Iscariot's going to do this dreadful deed. And he pairs him with the most zealous man in the group. Showing us that Jesus is always after us. We're never too far gone till our last breaths. I hope you see it this morning. I hope you feel it, brothers and sisters that are here today, and you feel like there's no chance. I hope that you don't dismiss this as a coincidence this morning, what I'm preaching on. I hope you know that Jesus had us right here and has you right there so that you would hear this today. And that he can change your life. I hope you know this is more than a history lesson. I hope you know that I'm doing more than giving out information this morning, that Jesus is seeking to do transformation among us. I hope you understand that he's the same today as he was yesterday and forevermore, that he still takes these types of folks and he transforms their lives for his glory. I hope you see that today. I hope you understand that today. I'm not up here to entertain. I'm not up here to just give out information about 12 dead guys. I'm not that interested in their lives. I'm interested in the risen Lord and what the risen Lord still wants to do in and through us. And I hope that you see that and you take this morning. He puts this religious fanatic that's transformed by his power and his love, and he puts him with Judas. This man would end up being crucified. And then obviously Judas Iscariot, who ends up committing suicide, who ends up not accepting the love and the invitation of Jesus Christ and ends up going to his own way, unto his detriment, of course. We know this. But nonetheless, he chooses them and he allows them to be with him and a part of him and next to him to experience him. He sends him out with great power and authority. And he had great potential for his life, but he walked from that. See, you can do that too. Your end of your life is either going to be a Judas or a Jesus. All of us here today, we either could be a Judas or a Jesus. That's what we're going to look like when we die. It could either be this. Here's all the potential in the world. This is what Jesus made available to you and for your life. But you walk from it to go do your own thing. Or it's going to be this. You didn't walk from that. You, like your Lord Jesus, you were faithful to your call. You were faithful to your course, your cause, what he has you on this earth for. And you ran the race to win. Now, when you run the race to win, worship team, you can come. When you run the race to win, you fall sometimes. Because listen, sometimes when you're running, you get excited and you start running too fast for your own good. You trip on your feet, don't you? Sometimes when you're running, you get slow and apathetic and lethargic and you get thirsty and you get weary and you pull over for a second. You got a cramp. You got to bend. You got to bend. You wonder, am I ever going to get up again? And you do. And you stretch, and sometimes there's injuries, and you just sort of have to limp for a minute. But if you're a Christian this morning, you keep your boots on. And you keep going after your Lord. That's what running the race well means. It doesn't mean running through it in a way where you're never touched by anything that knocks you down, and you just keep this perfect pace. It just means this, you just keep getting up. So every time you fall, and every time you make a bad decision, you're boisterous and outspoken like Peter. You're a doubter and you're a hater like Andrew and Thomas. Or you're slow like Philip. Or you're even thinking about turning your back on your Lord like Judas Iscariot. You still get back up and you get back on course and you keep going after him. Come on, if you're here this morning and you need to be a recipient of fresh grace, would you stand right now? Jesus, I need grace. You don't all have to stand. I just want those who are here right now, they're like, I'm touched by this. I've got to get in the game. I got to go out to that city, to the village. I got to go back to my workplace tomorrow. I got to go back to my school fresh. I'm fired for the Lord. I need grace. That's all this is. I need grace. I need to be washed over in grace. I need to be encouraged and reminded that it's not my own merits, my own abilities, my own works I go forward in. It's all Jesus. If that's you right now, you're being touched, you need to stand up right now so we can pray for you. Jesus, we pray now for every person that's standing to you, God. I'm with these guys, Lord. We are standing to you, Lord. And we're confessing to you that we fall short. We don't have it, God. We will never have it, Lord. But we have you. And if we have you, we have all that we need. Your word says that if you are for us, then who can be against us? And you are for us. And greater are you, Lord, that are in us than the devil and all of his minions and all of the powers of this world. So we look to you to strengthen us now, Lord, and to give us what we need to go out there and to run the race well. In Jesus' name, amen. Before we sing, listen, one last thing. And then I'm going to invite everybody to stand and we'll close this thing out with a powerful worship song. We come to Jesus. We understand that he's going to save us. He saves us. We understand that he wants to use us. He begins to use us. But as we're in that process of being saved and beginning to be used, sometimes I'm going by what I hear so much. People wonder, but I don't know where to go. I don't know where I fit. I don't know who I am. Here's what I exhort you to do. If you're here today and that's you, go spend some time with these scriptures. Listen, it's really easy. Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12. Go read of the gifts of God's Spirit and say, Jesus, which one fits me? Which one did you gift me with? Because here's what I want you to understand. Nobody here that's a child of God is ungifted. There's nobody here where it's like, no, I didn't realize you were here in the back corner there. You can't, this isn't for you. Light just go on back there? That's not what's going on. It's always that everybody that's a child of God has a call from God upon their life. Moms that are staying home with babies right now, and you think, my hands are tied. No, God can use you at home with your babies. You can pray, you can intercede. You can serve Jesus and being a support to the person who lives with you that goes to serve the Lord physically. You got a person with Alzheimer's or dementia that lives with you. You're taking care of them. Jesus can use you in that same way. You've got cancer. You're bedridden. You're sick. You can't move. You can support the ministry financially. There's a ton of things that you can do. You are never out of the game is what you've got to understand. Jesus wants to use you. So Lord, bless you guys. Lord, keep you. And as you seek to serve him, may he make his face to shine upon you. Amen.
That concludes our message for today, here on Lost and Found. Join us next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through God's Word. We invite you to join us this coming Sunday at Calvary Chapel Westside. Our Sunday morning services are 9 and 11 a.m. We'd also love for you to refuel with us at our midweek prayer service on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Calvary Chapel Westside is located at 2407 Union Street in Spencerport, New York. If you'd like to know more about CC Westside, you can log on to our website at ccwestside.com. That's ccwestside.com. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Vimeo, where you can access videos of Pastor Dave's teachings. If you'd like to contact us, simply give us a call. Our phone number is 585-352-3150. Again, that's 585-352-3150. Or send us an email. We would love to hear from you. Our email address is radio@ccwestside.com. That's radio@ccwestside.com. Thank you for listening to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. Join us next time as we continue our study through God's Word. Luke 19:10 says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." It is our prayer that you have found the only pathway that leads to an abundant life, found only in Jesus Christ. Amen.